Welcome to the Oldie Podcast. This is from our literary lunch featuring guest speakers and kindly sponsored by Noble Caledonia, specialists in worldwide small ship cruising. Our lunches are held monthly. Details and how to book can be found in our magazine and on the website www.theoldie.co.uk.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you so much for coming to the Oldie Lunch today. My name is Harry Mount, editor of the greatest magazine in the universe, The Oldie. And we are only here thanks to the extreme kindness of our sponsors, Noble Caledonia, who do wonderful cruises on crucially very small ships. I've been on one, it's fantastic. Our last speaker is the distinguished historian Charles Spencer. Previous books include Blenheim, Battle for Europe, Killers of the King, To Catch a King, and The White Ship. This morning he delivered an extremely initially complimentary tweet about the Oldie Lunch. He said, "It's always a fun occasion attended by people who seem to enjoy lunch and literature in equal measure." Very true. But then, Charles, I'm sorry, you made an outrageous suggestion. You said, "And they're not at all afraid of a pre-prandial drink or two, which makes for an easy-to-please audience." I'm afraid this is libelous, Charles. Outrageous. We always have three pre-prandial drinks, or at least six. But his latest book is a departure in his writing, an extremely moving, disturbing book about his time at prep school. It's called A Very Private School by Charles Spencer. Thanks so much.
Yes, I'm sorry about that. I have spoken for this audience several times over the last 20 years, but as Harry said, this is something completely different for me. And I was worried, actually, about two things when I tackled this story. And one was that it would seem incredibly self-indulgent. I mean, who could be interested in somebody else's school life? Probably not even your parents. And then at the same time, I was also worried about the sort of posh boy element of it, you know, to talk about tough times at one of the elite prep schools of Britain at the time. So it was all, I sort of tried to just deal with that. It's just fact, you know, we were very privileged. We did come from quite well-known families, most of us. It was a very small school. It's called Maidwell Hall. It's still going, and it's actually a very good school now. That's not lawyers asking me to say that, but I have got friends with children there, and they seem to like it very much. But it was very different back when I was there. So I went there in 1972 after a rather idyllic childhood in North Norfolk with my father and sisters, and went to a wonderful school in King's Lynn in Norfolk, which was run by the redoubtable and rather magnificent Miss Lowe, who just loved her children and made sure that we were very well looked after and learnt the true things of life, you know, good manners and thoughtfulness and a little bit of work on the side. But then I was taken, and I remember it quite eerily well, that on the 12th of September 1972, taken to boarding school. And I know there's a lot of people in this room who went to boarding school. But the extraordinary ritual of being packed off as an eight-year-old, or some were seven when we started, to go and start a new life with strangers. It was utterly terrifying for all of us, I'm sure. I'd never spent a night away from home without a member of my family before. And there's this scene, which I still remember so well. My father, some of you remember, was a very sweet and lovely man and really didn't want to do this. It was just what people did. And I remember arriving in the hallway of Maidwell, and there was this terrifying woman in charge. And she was called Mrs. Ford, and she was the matron. And my father went up to her and said, "Look, my son Charles has never stayed away. Could someone just keep an eye on him while he settles in?" And she thought this was hugely amusing, because she didn't really care about how boys felt, etc. And so she summoned this boy over to me and said to my father, "This young man has been here for 4 years at the school, and he'll look after Charles." And then I remember my father sort of kissing me on the head and rushing out the door to get away while I was distracted. And there was this extraordinary moment where I suddenly realised that this boy who was going to be looking after me probably wasn't as nice as I had hoped. And he just looked me up and down and he said, "You're on your own now." And actually, that was the only time he spoke to me, which was quite lucky because he turned out to be the school bully. In a way, it was a good thing to get him out of the way. But it was an introduction to an extraordinary place. I call it a very private school because that's how it thrived. The headmaster was a paedophile and a sadist, and he had constructed the perfect school for his purpose. He didn't allow the governors in. The parents were never allowed into the building except the first day when their boys started there. And he recruited the staff that he wanted. And there were only about seven of them. Two of the other masters were also sadists. And then the others tended to either be mute or enablers. And it's really a snapshot. What I wanted to do was write not a whinge, not an Angela's Ashes for wealthy kids, but really have a look at the terrifying vulnerability of children at that time. And the privacy is really the point of the book. We had no access to a landline, and we had one letter home each week on a Sunday, which was read through by the master before it was allowed out. So there was no communication. And part of this story really is about parenting and what was accepted as normal then. Absolutely not normal now. I mean, I go to, we all do, you know, if you have children or grandchildren, you're very much expected to be part of the life of the school, but not then. You're absolutely discouraged from going there as a parent. I have one friend whose parents lived in Cornwall. This school's in Northamptonshire. And they only went to the school once on his first day in 5 years. And in fact, he was once told of, we had two exeats a term. The headmaster said, "Actually, extraordinarily, your parents are coming to take you out today." And then he was very excited, but it turned out that they had sent the chauffeur instead, and he drove him from Northamptonshire to Leicester Square, sat with him to watch a movie, and then dropped him back. So it's a very bizarre way of looking at your role as a parent. My parents, I think, were totally oblivious. The headmaster was brilliant, as paedophiles tend to be, at presenting to the world in a certain way. And Christianity was his card, which he played very openly. A very perverted form of Christianity, though. When I was writing this book, I came across about 24 boys from the school who I had lost contact with. And one of them told me about how the headmaster's religion affected him. The headmaster was outraged, he told the boy, that his parents were getting divorced. And this little boy was struggling with that concept anyway. And so the headmaster said, "So I think you should consider me as your father now." And the boy was taken down on Sunday evenings for what were called Sunday night confessions. And he had to strip and then tell the headmaster all the things he had done wrong that week. But he hadn't done anything wrong, so he had to invent little schoolboy crimes and then be beaten and worse. And it was extraordinary. He told me this in front of his mother, and she had no idea about this. She's 85, an absolutely lovely woman. And it's this extraordinary ability, really, of, I don't know, a system to take advantage of vulnerable children. It's not all bleak, the book. There are some high points in it. The director, HarperCollins, said, "Couldn't you put some jokes in it?" And I said, "Well, maybe the next book, but this isn't a joke book, really." But it's a snapshot, it's a modern history. I tend to do Stuarts and medieval, but it was something quite extraordinary, really, to look at something that was part of my life 50 years ago and look at the effect of a very, very corrupt regime run by an incredibly clever abuser who charmed the parents. They would get a termly report, which was really amusing and very diverting and a very good smokescreen. So I've tried to peel back the smokescreen, look at this school, not because it's about my childhood, but because it was a system that was open to terrible abuse. And that's really why I tackled it. I've never thought, what's the next book? I never thought, I've got to write this book. But things accumulated, and I just put on my computer a file called Madewell. And over time, I ended up with 700 paragraph headings involving boys' deaths because of the school, all the way through to what we had for tea on Tuesdays. And so I hope that anyone who reads it will think, first of all, thank God I didn't go to that school. But secondly, we'll learn something about children's vulnerability in very bad institutions. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Charles, and thanks so much to all three of our speakers, and thanks so much to all of you for coming here today. All three of our speakers will be just outside the front door, not this door here, not where they were before lunch, literally outside this door to sign books. And I also have the winner of the Noble Caledonia raffle, and it's James Clapperson from Leeds. And you can collect your prize in the place where we were before lunch. But thank you all so much for coming, and thank you so much to our three speakers. Thank you.
You have been listening to the Oldie podcast. Please share this episode. Look out for the Oldie magazine subscription offer on our website, www.theoldie.co.uk. Thank you and good luck.